think what I would like to do is I'd like to get grounded with the class, and I'd like to begin by asking you to get centered in an opening guided meditation. What I'd like you to do is to bring your attention to your body. Bring your attention to your breathing. And breathe a little bit slower. And notice how you're feeling in your body. Notice any emotions that you're having. Be with any thoughts. And center yourself as much as you're able to in your heart. If you have any reactions or constrictions going on in you, judgments, any kind of criticism or reactive thinking, just notice that. Be with it. And what I'd like you to do is to notice or identify your being here and what brought you to participate in this particular class. Is there a need or something you're valuing or a longing for some quality in your life that you wanted to be enhanced by participating in this class? Be with it. Notice it. And just allow yourself to feel the energy in your body. And be as present as you're able to with yourself. Just continue to be with your breathing for a few more moments. So I'd like to start out with a remembering, which is a quotation that is very much in harmony with the spirit of this class, the spirit of self-compassion. And it's a quotation by a man named Stephen Schwartz. Stephen Schwartz is a person who has done the work, he passed away in 1993, the work of compassionate self-care, which is basically self-compassion. So I'll just read that. The work of compassionate self-care is an incredible recognition that whatever is occurring in our lives, whatever is occurring on the inside of us, and whatever is occurring on the outside is love appearing in a particular disguise. And that in order to know this, we must live into it, breathe into it, open to it, and not merely carry that as a piece of information in the mind. And so that we can say our darkest and most quote-unquote negative emotions, the most difficult circumstances, the memories and experiences we most regret, the mistakes we've made, the so-called bad things we've done, and the way we've been hurt and the way we've hurt somebody else is no different than our most beautiful memories. The way we've supported somebody else, the way we've touched another human being, and our most positive experiences, our smoothest episodes in the life journey. This compassion is equanimity. Okay. The way I'd like to begin is I'd like to spend a few minutes asking you to identify, take a look at what your intention is for this course. So I found that having a conscious intention for involvement in a class like this has been very important. After we do that, I'd like to begin by sharing sort of an overview of not only today, but the entire course, and then we'll go from there. So I'm going to ask each of you to identify your intention and then to write it down. It's just one sentence about an intention, as I define it, would be something that you are aiming to do, a quality of your consciousness, a quality of your well-being that you intend to come to and to experience throughout this course. This one way of defining an intention. Your intention may be something that transforms or evolves throughout this course, and just like you to be sort of conscious of it in the background. What I'd like to do is I want to spend a little bit of time sharing with you my view, what I've learned around self-compassion and the process of it. Now, part of this sharing is conceptual in the sense that I'm sharing this imagery. The construct, actually, that I'm sharing is really just a support. The primary value of this is that we can experience this, that it's an experiential process. And the conceptual construct is not a substitute for it, but my experience is that it's been very supportive in being able to have a clear understanding of our own conscious experience. So in that spirit, I share this overview in this slide. It's entitled Pathways to Self-Compassion Through Wounding and Protective Structures. First of all, I want to say that my experience of self-compassion, of connecting with inner compassion, is essentially a very simple process. Simple in the sense that it's not complex. And I've experienced it to be quite a profound process, but also can be very challenging. There are some basic or some primary principles in this whole process, and I want to identify them. One of the primary principles, and of course, I'm going to use different words or names to describe or define these principles. You can see the center of the diagram. It says divine life energy, or basic essential life energy. This can be considered the domain of our essential self, our essential being. It's the core of our being. And the way I experience it, the core of our being generates life energy. There's a movement, there's a process to life energy. I'm going to go more into this later on, but I'm just going to briefly touch on it, that one of the other dimensions that sort of surrounds life energy, that for various reasons in our life experiences, we all have had pain, hurt, wounding experiences. We've all had subject to our cultural conditioning that isn't always in harmony or enhances the expression of life energy, our essential self. And so surrounding this very often is this layer of pain and wounding. It's also the place where we are the most vulnerable. And then surrounding that is another layer that as a way of responding to some of the wounding that we've experienced, the hurt, the pain, that our system, our consciousness creates as a way of protecting ourselves and defending ourselves and trying to function in life, these beliefs about life, these forms that we identify with, who we take ourselves to be, self-image, and they manifest in these patterns, these constrictive patterns of experiencing ourselves and expressing ourselves in ways that are quite limiting. One of the fundamental identities that we tend to take on is, I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. There's something wrong with me. Some version of a very self-limiting identification that we take on. An example of a core belief might be that life is not safe. We can't trust people. Life is dangerous. There's not enough love to go along, or some other scarcity belief. So the process of self-compassion or unconditional self-acceptance within ourselves is the process of approaching our life experience, particularly when we are reacting, when we're having a painful or a suffering experience, is bringing a particular quality of presence and compassion to ourselves. Again, I know that I'm speaking very simply and describing in a very brief and overview manner a process that requires a considerable amount of commitment and work and can be and is very, very challenging at certain moments. So the process of self-compassion is one in which actually it's a practice of self-compassion, because it's something that we cultivate and we develop over time. And it requires a way of approaching our experience in ways that most of us have not learned how to do. So I want to give a very brief definition of compassion or self-compassion, inner compassion, as I approach it. It's not the definition. I'm not saying that this is the ultimate truth, but it's how I define it in a way that's meaningful to me in the way that I work with people. So compassion, when we direct it towards ourselves and our own inner experience, one of the primary elements of it is that it has a quality of allowing, of an inner spaciousness. And so when we approach a particular kind of inner experience that may be difficult or painful, one of the most important elements in touching that, in allowing a healing or unfolding, is approaching that experience with a kind of spaciousness, with letting whatever is there, allowing it to be. Now, one of the important elements of this is that it's very much centered in the bodily energetic field, so that it's not simply a cognitive or conceptual approach to ourselves. Is that as we move into our experiencing, we move into the body and feel the sensations as much as we're able to get in touch with, and the physical energetic level of our emotions. When we meet the inner experience, one of the primary characteristics that makes it difficult to deal with is the inherent resistance in any painful experience. And what I mean by that is something inherent in our experience when we are in a difficult or painful or an experience that I call suffering, is that there's a part of us that wants to move away from it. There's an aspect of our mind and our conditioning that wants to move away from pain, to get over it, to get through it, to have it so that it's not there anymore. And while this is absolutely understandable, it's also one of the primary obstacles to allowing the life energy that's in the very experience of our painful experience to be accessible, because we're trying to get through and over something, and in doing so, we resist it. So I want to pause for a moment now, because I'd like to have, as I'm sharing this overview, a little bit of a connection with those of you who are listening. So I'd like to ask for at least one or two responses to what I'm sharing. And if there's anything in it that is not clear, I'd like to respond. If there's any resonance, any other sort of response that's alive in anyone, I'd like to hear that. So does anybody have any response or any question to what I've shared so far?
I live daily now in an empathetic presence. My story was life is not safe. And in order for me to feel safe in my life, I had to build safety within myself first. And I so identify with this pathway to self-compassion that it has transformed my life and released a tremendous amount of energy for me to actually live in empathetic presence. So I'm very grateful for the work you're doing and to be a part of this class. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Yeah, I had a question. I'm hearing you talking about that there's this tendency to move away from the pain. And I'm wondering if you're going to speak a little bit about, or if you could speak a little bit about, also a tendency to go, maybe to dwell in the pain, and sort of how to find that balance of what is like a productive amount of being in the pain, or how to handle that productively.
I appreciate the question. I think that's an important part of it. I think that what you're speaking to, whether our tendency is to try to get over it, move away from it, which will manifest as, why isn't this over? What's wrong with me? I've experienced this so much. I need to feel better. And the innumerable strategies that we as human beings take to avoid pain, that in the very same category, although it may sound opposite, it's still part of the same function, is getting stuck in the pain, dwelling in it, telling ourselves a story about it, perhaps, and then acting it out, enacting it with certain behaviors. For me, whether I'm dwelling in the pain or trying to get over it, they're both forms of resisting the essential nature of the energy that we call pain. And what's common to both of, whether we're dwelling in it or trying to get over it, is the mechanism of thought, or what we're thinking, or the story we're telling ourselves about it. I mean, that's the quick answer. I'm wondering, Carolyn, if that gives you enough response to your question right now, or is there more that you'd like?
That's probably enough. I'm guessing that you're going to cover more on this later.
In particular, the covering I'm hoping will be experiential, so that if you or other people experience, when I ask you all to connect to a specific experience, if you do experience that aspect of it, that you find yourself sort of dwelling in or getting stuck in the pain, then it's that approach where I would ask the process of self-compassion is to bring a quality of awareness to that dwelling in the pain or stuckness in the pain. Because when we bring a quality of space allowing, then it breaks up the tendency to either get stuck in it, dwell in it, or to try to get over it.
I'm satisfied for now.
Okay.
Thanks.
Sure. Again, I do want to reiterate that in a way, there is some inherent limitation in what I'm sharing, because I ask for your patience, because in a way I am talking about an experiential process, and we're not necessarily in the experiential process, but I have found that this setting up of the overview I have found to be important. Okay. So, I think what I'd like to do is to maybe identify a couple of more of what I consider to be the primary principles of this process. And I will refer to this process with different languages. I like to have versatility in describing it. I call it self-compassion, unconditional self-acceptance, compassionately embracing our inner experience. So there's a number of ways that I will describe it. One of the most important things I want to describe, since I think most of you are familiar with nonviolent communication and the principle of universal human needs, is the middle of that diagram, the divine life energy, or the fundamental life energy, call it life force, qualities of our essential being. For me, what I experience is that this life force manifests in our experience as longings or yearnings. We long for certain qualities, and these longings manifest as our universal human needs, what we value. So many, if not all of you, have been exposed to many of the identification of these human needs, some of the most basic ones in relationship and with each other are needs like love, understanding, support, acceptance, integrity, creativity. So these needs are experienced as qualitative experiences, energetic experiences. And so our longings manifest as life seeking fulfillment, and they exist in every moment of our life, every situation. Everything that we do is an attempt to fulfill a need or fulfill something that we value, to fulfill one of our basic longings in life for our own essential well-being. So a way of defining what our pain and our suffering is that there's inherent obstructions to this based on our life experiences, based on our conditioning. And these obstructions can be experienced in varying levels of from the smallest, the most insignificant to the largest, the most intense kind of painful experiences. One of the elements that is very basic to what holds us in these painful experiences in stuck, in ways in which we get stuck and aren't able to free ourselves or feel healing with regard to, is the nature of the overlay of thought or thinking. In nonviolent communication, one of the ways we characterize this is that there's a distinction between what happens and what we tell ourselves about what's happened. We have thoughts, we evaluate, we analyze, we tell stories about what's happened. And when we tell ourselves this story, when we have thoughts and evaluations, it alienates us from a deeper, more authentic aliveness and energy. And so one of the most basic distinctions that's essential to the work of self-compassion is the distinction between thought and thinking, a particular kind of alienating thinking, and the conscious energy of the life force that exists in and through us. So throughout the work of self-compassion, what arises time and time again is the particular form of thought and thinking that keeps our constriction, our knotted experience, and our suffering intact. And the balm for this is ongoing practice of bringing an open, spacious awareness through our bodily felt senses to this inner experiencing. And some of the elements that are inherent and important to this process is the practice of breathing, slowing down our experience, focusing on the bodily felt sensing and energies. When we do this, we start to cultivate more and more presence within our own experience. So I'll pause there and see if there's any questions or response to what I said before I move on.
I'm just curious, are you saying in that last piece about the balm to the stuckness in us, would you be saying that it behooves us to make a practice of a daily practice or a regular practice of just simply being present with ourselves, whether that's meditation or a walk or something just that equates to a focused presence with ourselves?
Yes, I am saying that. I'm implying that, and what I'm saying is that for me, in order to come to the sense of an ongoing sense of my well-being and my aliveness, it requires a moment-by-moment practice, a conscious intention to be present and alive. And I'll be more specific, because when I get towards the end of this day, I'm going to suggest a couple of very simple regular practices for all of you who are in this course. I'm going to be specific about the kind of practice, whereas I think a mindfulness, a meditation practice, a breathing practice can be helpful. I'm going to suggest something that's more specific in terms of when, in the course of your everyday life, if you feel a constriction, a holding in of the life flow, or something that's locking your well-being, the practice of self-compassion is developing the quality of presence in approaching those moments, so that in a way we release and allow the life energy to flow and to be more fulfilling. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. I guess in my head I'm thinking that I might begin a daily practice of a particular process that it sounds like you might recommend as we get closer to the end of the session, but that what this might become eventually is a way that I can be present with myself whenever these moments arise.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. What I'd like to do is to I guess, move forward into something that's more experiential. One of the ways that I often do this, I'd like to ask for someone to volunteer to spend a few minutes with me so that I can guide you through this process, even though this is an inner-directed process that the intention of which is to apply to oneself and one's own experience. I'd like to demonstrate experientially with someone who has something that's alive in you, something that you're currently feeling, that can be described as something painful, something that you would enjoy receiving compassion about and enjoy being guided into a process of self-compassion. After my demonstrating this with an individual, I'd like to ask the whole group to engage in the practice, and then we'll do some debriefing about it. So what I'd like to do is ask, is there someone who would be willing to work with me for a few minutes? I'd like you to choose something that's alive, but also for the sake of the work and the demonstration, if you could choose something that has not a very high level of intensity of pain. It's not that I don't want to work with that right now, not that it's not worthy of working with it. Everything for me is worthy of working with it, but just in terms of the intention for working with someone is basically to demonstrate the process. So Susan, you're volunteering to do a little work with me. Would you briefly describe your experience that you'd like to work with?
A couple who were dear friends a number of years ago are still living in the same town as I am, but are no longer interested, I guess, in interacting with me. This has been going on for a number of years.
Okay. So I'm going to speak to you and also make reference occasionally to the others who are listening to this. We may not completely go through this process. I don't know. But I want to at least guide you into the highlights of what this is about as we do this process. I want to explain it to you and to others well so that you will come away with at least a little bit of a map or an inner pathway for this. The first thing I heard, Susan, as you described this, is the stimulus for what you're feeling. It's the actual event that happened, and you have an inner response to it. You described this couple who you're no longer having an interaction with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a life situation, something you're observing that I would call a stimulus. It's a stimulus for your inner experience.
Okay.
For those of you who may be relatively new to nonviolent communication, this is an important principle. There's a distinction, Susan, between what happened and what you're doing with what happened inside. That first distinction is important, that there's a factual, you're observing some behavior from this couple. And then you have an inner experience. You have a feeling, you probably have thoughts. Can you share your inner experience with me?
Initially, probably about 12 years ago.
Actually, I'm going to interrupt you. What I'd like you to do is just stay in the present moment. As you think about this right now, what are you feeling now?
Sadness.
Okay.
And a certain amount of anger.
Okay. Sadness and anger. Now, I'd like you to just bring your attention to the sadness and the anger. And we're going to approach this in a couple of different ways. I'd like you to feel what it feels like in your body, to feel the sadness and the anger. And when you have that, just share with me that you're in touch with it to some degree. Just the sensation of the feeling of sadness and anger.
It's across my chest.
Okay.
And it's probably a tightness.
A tightness. Okay. Just allow yourself to breathe into it. Keep your attention there, breathe, and just allow, not trying to make it go away, just allowing it to be there. Notice what happens. Does it move? Does it stay the same?
It's moving up into the back of my neck, in between my shoulders.
Okay, so you just continue to be with it, you notice it. Now, there's two elements here to this inner experience. It almost always is there when there's a painful experience in life. One is what I would call the thinking or the story about it. So it's important to really just acknowledge that. So can you share with me any thinking that you have about the situation, whether it's judgment, criticism, or any other kind of story that comes up in you?
There is some judgment of who's responsible for this estrangement.
Okay.
My thinking is that it's gone on way too long.
Okay.
This is a couple who do a great deal of work with peace and nonviolence, passive resistance, and so on. And so there is some negative thinking about walking the walk instead of talking the talk.
Yeah, okay. So I'm guessing part of your thinking is you may be thinking that they should be walking their walk and being more consistent with what they espouse.
Yes.
Okay. So, again, I just want you to notice the judgment that you have, some notion about who's responsible for what's going on, it's gone on too long, some sense of should thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Given the kind of work that they do, they should be walking their talk, something like
yes.
that.
Yes.
Okay. And so I just want you to notice the thought, just sort of be with the thought. And notice that, just take one of those thoughts, which one is the most predominant?
This has gone on too long.
Okay. When you say that, notice how you feel in your body. And share that with me.
Well, the very first thing is I notice a sharpness coming into my voice.
Okay. Anything else?
I find I'm gritting my teeth.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Clenching my jaw.
Okay. So just notice that. And by noticing, I mean you simply do the best you can to simply observe it, the tightness, sharpness in your voice, gritting your teeth, clenching your jaw. And notice that tightness. It's associated with the story that this has gone on too long, or your thought, this has gone on too long. Now, I would like to also ask you to put your attention on, again, your body, perhaps the feeling of sadness that you have in relation to this. I want you to sense and feel in your body, in the sadness, is there something that you really want, you're desiring, that isn't happening? Are you longing for something? And if you can sense the energy of the longing, feel it and then share with me what you're longing for that's not occurring in this situation.
What I'm longing for is what we used to have, which was a warm acceptance of one another.
Okay. So notice the words warm acceptance. When you put your attention on that energy, the feeling, the experience of warm acceptance, you used to have it, but you don't have it anymore. And so I want you to notice the energy, the feeling of the warm acceptance. Even though it's not present in your life, do you not feel it present in your heart as something you long for?
Yes.
Be with it for a moment. Allow yourself simply to feel it, the warmth and the acceptance. Isn't there some inherent value, some inherent beauty to this quality?
Yes.
Allow yourself to feel it for a moment. Breathe and breathe into it. Allow it to expand in your chest. Share with me what you're feeling now.
Well, my shoulders have relaxed.
Okay.
The anger isn't as sharp or as cold as it was. Actually, I haven't. It's pleasant to feel that again because I pretty much put more energy into not caring about it than I have to either the warmth of the memory or the pain of the anger.
Yeah.
And it's nice to go back to that good feeling that we used to have.
So even though it's a feeling that you used to have, meaning that there's a memory there, I want you to notice that it's this experience, this life energy is something you're feeling now in the present moment. It's alive in you right now. And you feel it now.
Yes.
And it's something that I'm hearing that you deeply value.
Yes.
I'm guessing that you not only value it in the relationship with this couple, but I'm guessing you also value it in other relationships.
Absolutely.
Do you sense a fullness to this in yourself?
Yes.
That's what I call the inherent beauty of these longings or these human needs that we have. So, can you feel the beauty of it? And at the same time, I'm wondering if reflecting on the absence of this connection with this couple, what are you feeling? Is there still sadness there, or is there another feeling?
No, I would have to say that the anger is dissolving into sadness.
Okay.
I think the anger was the kind of the dominant feeling for a long time, and I was protecting myself with that from the sadness.
Okay. So just notice that, be with it. And for me, what you're experiencing in the sadness, I want to just ask you a few more questions. But for me, there's a difference between suffering and natural pain, the natural pain of mourning. Suffering is when we experience these constricted experiences of anger, sometimes depression or other feelings that are very constricting. And a more open flow of natural mourning, the sense of deep sadness, because you long for something valuable and beautiful, but it's not present there. But your heart can still be open to it. You can still feel warmth.
Yes.
So you resonate with with your experience as I'm sharing this.
Yes.
So for me, I want to just bring this to a close. I know this is a rather quick exercise, but I wanted to, there's more work that can be done. But I think what we've did just together, and I appreciate your taking some time with me, Susan, covers all of the essential elements of how we can approach our own inner experience when we have a pain and we have unfulfilled longings, unmet needs, and we carry it with us. So I'm not going to talk right now about potential ways that you can approach them in relationship. That's a different topic. But for right now, this practice, this one small practice that we just did together, is a sample of how you and others can approach yourself. And as we go along and do this work, we will be going over and over again this essential process, adding new elements and dimensions to it that perhaps are sort of unseen right now, but inherent in what we're doing. This quality of warmth and acceptance is what I regard as that basic life energy in you and in all of us, where we simply long for these living qualities in ourselves and in all of our relationships. I'm wondering if there's anything more that you'd like to share with me just from this time that we spent together.
There's lots more, but I don't think this is the time or the place.
Okay. When you say lots more, you mean other experiences or more within this experience?
No, other experiences.
Yeah, okay. Well, join humanity here. I think so many of us have this more.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Susan. Thank you for the time. So again, I'd love to open it up to hearing any responses or questions or feedback from anybody.
Sometimes I can do this process with myself and can connect with the living energy of the need, but somehow I've found it can be used as a kind of sabotage or I don't know the word, but it can, it's as if there was something that really hadn't been fully attended to in the morning, and I was kind of jumping to right now I feel good, you know, and sometimes I'm wary to come into the living energy. It's a sense that, I don't know if you've got anything to say on that, but it's like my mind sees it as a technique to move away from something before it's ready.
Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying, because I think it's part of this process. It's important to really attend to and trust if you're sensing that you're moving away from something before you have fully engaged it, then I would want you to trust that. And just trust, what is it that hasn't been fully attended to? Maybe there's some subtlety in the pain that you're feeling. Maybe there's some thoughts or story you're telling yourself. Without you and I spending more time together with this, I'm appreciating what you're saying, because I think so much of what we are attending to in this inner experience does and can carry these layers of subtlety where it may not be easy to approach, to touch into, and to really feel fully. And so it may take visiting and revisiting this experience within ourselves over and over again.
Could I just say a little something on that?
Yeah.
I think sometimes my mind is, you know, labeling this kind of, like when I'm in the living energy, that's the good space to be, you know, I'm doing well there. And there's some kind of judgment being made that the other space is, you know, unproductive, stuck space. And I just wonder what you have on that.
Well, I'm glad that you've identified that, because if you're sharing that, it sounds like you actually have that thought, and on some level actually believe that the other experience, more uncomfortable experience, you're labeling it or have a story about it as unproductive. And if you're evaluating your experience in that way, for me that's a form of resisting the experience, which is really other than allowing it. So.
Yeah.
This practice that I'm talking about has a quality of depth. It's relatively easy to conceptually understand what I'm saying. And actually, it's easy for the mind to grasp it or to think of it as a technique. And for me, it's not a technique. I differentiate a technique from an actual living awareness practice, bringing ourselves over and over again into the spacious, open, allowing awareness so that you feel the subtle energies or the strong energies in your body, and notice any tightnesses or constriction there, and just really allow it so that pain has as much value as joy. There's no prejudice that pain is less than joy.
Yeah, thank you. I feel quite tearful when you're speaking and really sense this slowing down and really wanting to just give that space. Thank you.
Thank you. It's easy for me to say something and describe it. It's another thing to experience it. And what I'm going to say, I know is words, but the experience is, at a certain depth or quality of self-compassion, we find that pain and joy have something essential to it, common to it, and that is living energy.
Mm-hmm.
That in the pain, there's an energy that we feel that's different than the label we give it, and we can feel it. So I noticed, Kristen, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I was just going to make a comment that this process of mourning, it's a real leap. And when I took your class before, I had something momentous going on in my life, and it created inside me, you know, such a storm of many emotions, but sadness very much. And it felt, you know, I said, I'm going to try this. This was at home, you know, I'm going to just completely go into the experience of this. And it racked me. I was surprised at how intensely I felt, you know, this mourning, it was mourning. It was funeral level mourning. In fact, some part of me thought, you know, I should wear black. I should there should be, you know, some sort of ceremony, you know, something just so huge because it felt like such an incredible loss. And, you know, and then another part of me thought, this is going to last forever. You know, I will feel horrible like this forever because that's how strongly, you know, how strong it was. It was a lot of faith on my part to kind of just believe that it was going to go somewhere, you know, that it really truly wasn't going to be a forever kind of thing. And it wasn't, you know, although it did last a while, but it didn't last forever. And I got so much out of it. I mean, it was incredible, the healing that came from it. That's my comment.
I appreciate hearing you sharing. I think you shared some really important things. It stimulated me just a couple of things I want to comment on. One is, for me, the way I define mourning, it adds to the dimension of deep sadness, because the sadness always points to something that's full and beautiful, that is absent in our experience, but it's present in our heart. So for me, full mourning always touches beauty, and it can be very poignant, because with full mourning, as I define it, as I've experienced it, it carries sadness of that which is unfulfilled in our experience, but the joy and celebration of that which is beautiful in our heart. So if we miss a connection, let's say, with someone who we care for, and the loss is connection and love and warmth, then there's the poignancy of the deep sadness, but the broken, open-heartedness of the beauty of the love that's there. So it can be quite beautiful, but also very intense to open to this level of depth. So thank you, Kristen.
Thank you.
Great. I see one more hand up, then we'll move on.
This is reminding me of a session that we did, a one-to-one session, when we sat together in front of the room. The outpouring of emotion was so intense, connecting with this some quality that was hard to describe, and yet there was this incredible peace and bliss, and within that, you know, just an acceptance of this incredibly powerful flow of tears and everything else that came out. I kind of wanted that to last forever. And since then, I've noticed that I have a copy of actually of that session, but I'm afraid to even listen to it. I'm afraid in a way to approach that intensity level again without some kind of support. So I think it's an echo a little bit of what Kristen was saying about how incredibly intense it can be. And, just as I recall that, I can feel, you know, kind of a fluttering in my heart and a kind of on the edge of that intensity again, just recalling it, you know, that it was such a beautiful experience and at the same time a bit frightening. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Jay. I'm appreciating your sharing that, and I think it's in very similar to what Kristen said in terms of intensity. There's one thing I do want to say about this whole work, this work of inner self-compassion, is that often what it leads us to in this experience is perhaps levels of feeling that we have not felt, depth or intensity of experiencing that for whatever reason we have not felt or allowed ourselves to feel. Now, because of what we learned and what we have learned about life and open, raw, vulnerable experiences, it's easy, the tendency of the thinking mind and our conditioned mind is to have reactive thoughts or stories about levels of intensity. Like, it's too much. I can't handle it. I don't want to feel intense. And so, while I can appreciate that, and what I encourage is for people to be easy and tender with themselves about any level of intensity, to not push yourself beyond what you trust and feel you're capable of. I would also add to that it's important in this inner work to be sensitive to that life force in us, to sensitive to the power of it, how it manifests in us, and to come to it again and again with tenderness and with openness. My experience is that what we call intensity can have a very different experience when we can approach the intensity of our experience with more tenderness and more openness. Again, it's all part of this whole practice. So thank you.
As you say that, what's coming up for me is that, yeah, there's probably some core beliefs about intense emotional experiences that are surfacing, that, like you say, that they, it's too much, or there's something wrong with it, or it's not good to feel all that.
Yeah.
And
that
I
would
think
be
that's
my
what
guess.
I appreciated in that session was the sense of welcome, that I knew in that experience that all I felt was welcome. And I realize now, when alone, the core beliefs sort of reassert themselves. Well, that's actually not really such a good thing to do, and not safe. And
yeah.
So that's great to notice that.
Great. Thank you. I just want to take a few minutes for everybody, if you haven't already done it. I'm going to ask you all to do very similar to what we did before, but just, I know one of the limitations that I have is I really would love to hear from everybody, and maybe during the next or class after that, we're going to be able to work in small groups and pairs and have an opportunity for everybody to share. So I want to acknowledge the limitation and perhaps frustration that some of you may be feeling because you're not as openly connected, participating as much as possible. What I'd like to do is take a few minutes to ask, I'd like to ask everyone who's willing to, is to do a short exercise in compassionately embracing an experience that you have. And what I would like to do is to do a kind of very broad sort of guide in this process, recognizing that my guiding may not fit everybody's pattern or rhythm. I want to give you a very broad guiding into the sort of pathway. So I'd like to begin by asking everyone to identify, small or big, an experience that still is present within you, in your experience that's still with you, that you could describe as painful, that you may experience as some holding in tension, perhaps there's anger, fear maybe, something that is blocking perhaps your life flow and your sense of well-being. So ask each of you to identify, if you're able to, if something like that is present in your life, just simply identify it right now. And bring your awareness to the body, the sensations, the feelings that you can feel energetically in the felt sense of this experience. Allow yourself to breathe without trying to make it go away, but actually just letting it be okay that you're allowing yourself to feel whatever is there. Notice if there's thoughts, thinking, evaluations, judgments, story. Simply observe and notice. Bring yourself to your body. And notice if there's any thought or subtle tendency in you, or that perhaps you've in the past experienced some resistance to this. And the resistance can show up as you want to get rid of this. You want to make yourself feel better. You want to get over it, through it. You want it to go away. Be with and notice if there's any of that going on in your experience, in your consciousness. And then even as you notice that if there is that resistance going on, that even that's okay. You notice that you're doing the best you can to protect yourself, to seek well-being, that the resistance maybe is the best you know how to do. Even if it doesn't work, and feel your body, feel the emotions that are going on in you with respect to this experience. Identify if there's any painful emotions going on. Is there disappointment, discouragement, fear, hopelessness, any of that? And just notice where it is in your body. Feel it physically. Feel the definition of it. Is it in your chest? Is there tightness in your shoulders? Actually feel the sensation of it. And breathe and allow that sensation to be there. As you notice and be with the sensation that includes an emotional feeling, see if you can just create a little bit more space around it, as if there's an edge to the sensation or an edge to the feeling, that it can rest in more space, in more room, that it can, the sensation itself can move and can breathe. Sense and feel if there is in this feeling of pain or discomfort, is there a longing? Is there a yearning for something that's not present in your life, in this experience? Is there a longing for acceptance, a longing for understanding, for warmth, for freedom? If there is the longing and the yearning, feel the energy of this longing. Allow yourself just to keep breathing. And notice sometimes when we touch into this kind of experiences, sometimes there's a feeling of this part of you that is longing for something, that is feeling the pain. Sometimes this has a quality of innocence or a very young part, the little boy or the little girl, or that quality of this has been with you for a long time. Is there a presence of innocence or youngness in this energy of what you long for? And just allow that to be there. Invite it. That there is a message in spacious allowing that with the energy, not with the words so much, that says it's okay. It's okay to feel what you're feeling. There's a beauty in the longing for what you long for. Hold it in your heart. If you're not able to do this, it may be that there's the tightness and constriction, the thought or the story about this experience or even this process. Bring yourself back. Bring yourself to the feeling and the felt sense in your body and just breathe into it. So I'd like to just ask you to bring this to a close right now. Bring your attention to whatever's there in you. And there's a few things I would like to, first of all, I'd like to ask if there's anyone who'd like to share anything about this last short process that we just did. John?
I just want to express my gratitude for the spaciousness that I can hold within myself around these moments of discomfort and sadness or pain, that I can actually cradle myself in the spaciousness and hold these feelings as sacred. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Jay.
Yeah, I just want to say, listening to your voice, the kind of energy that you're projecting, I felt much safer to touch that place inside of a deep longing for love, for acceptance, for accepting that those feelings. And thank you very much. It's wonderful to connect more deeply again.
Thank you. Okay. I'd like to say a few things in closing. What I'd like to do is suggest that you all participate in a daily practice. I'm going to begin it with very simple. You may have questions in the next class about the practice. I may open up the class asking for feedback on this. But it's a very simple daily practice. It has to do with connecting with your basic life energy, connecting compassionately with yourself. So throughout the day, in day-to-day living, when you identify that you have an experience that you could describe as painful, as tension-filled, contracting, something where you're holding in the life flow, where there is a lack of fulfillment or meeting of your basic needs or valuing, to take a few moments to connect with yourself, just as I was sharing before, to be with yourself and be with the breathing, number one. Identify any thinking or story that's there. Let yourself feel the energy of the sensation, of the feelings. Notice any longing, desiring, valuing that's inherent in the feeling. Allow yourself to breathe and come to your experience with the intention to accept and allow whatever is going on in you, mindfully breathing and allowing that experience. So I'm going to suggest that you do that in a couple of ways. One, for those of you who are more drawn towards journaling, to do a short journaling process, and or those of you who simply want to do this process in the midst of everyday life. Now, I know I'm starting very general, and I'm going to be a little bit more specific as we move on with the kind of daily practice that I'm suggesting here. So my belief is that the more that each of you take up a daily practice and intend to do this in your everyday moment-by-moment experience, to that extent is the extent to which I think there will be a deepening for your own experience and your well-being. Are there any questions or responses to what my suggestion is?
Yes, Robert. You went over that process rather quickly for me. I was wondering if you could just repeat it a little slower.
Yes. Do you mean the one I just did verbally or the one
when
I worked with the whole group in a guided meditation?
No, the one you just gave verbally.
Okay. The first step is to, when you are in an experience of pain or constriction or unmet needs, to stop and identify, to say, identify the stimulus. And then focus on the energetic experience in your body. Allow yourself to breathe. Create space around the actual experience itself, the sensations, the feelings, the thoughts, in a spirit of allowing it and accepting all of it. Then notice any longing, any wanting, identifying any needs that you have in the midst of that experience, allowing yourself to feel the yearning of the longing. Perhaps identifying it as a need or a value. And breathe into that energetically and to feel it. As I worked earlier with Susan, she identified warmth and acceptance. So there's a qualitative feeling that you can feel and allow. If you're not able to do this immediately, just allow yourself to keep visiting this over and over again.
Okay, that's helpful.
I do want to say that this is the beginning step, the beginning process, and it's an ongoing deepening as we move week by week. Before I say goodbye for today, I do want to say that I'm hoping that we'll be ready for people to increase their participation level by breaking into pairs or small groups so that everybody gets an opportunity to participate in the group process. It's a very high value of mine because I know a lot of the value from these kinds of, from these groups are when everyone is able to share and to participate and have connections with other people. So I just wanted to say that. And again, I'm very grateful for everybody to be here, and I look forward to our next time together.